This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. If you're hosting a Super Bowl party on Sunday, some of your guests will be there to watch the game. Some of them couldn't care less about what's happening on the field, but they will be glued to the commercials to see who comes up with the funniest, most moving, and unique ad. Joining me to talk about what amounts to the Super Bowl of the ad world are Jackie Rowe, CEO of Game Day Communications, Richard Groot, president of Traction Branding and Design Company, and Kelly Tassos, associate director of advertising with the Cincinnati Business Courier. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tell us what your favorite ads have been from past Super Bowls. But first, let's listen to a clip of some of those past commercials, and I'll warn the group here, there will be a test after this to see how many you recognize.
Hello?
What's in the bag?
Lunch. Big Mac, fries.
Play you for it.
You and me for my Big Mac?
First one to miss watches the winner eat. No dunking.
So, yeah, sorry about last night.
Yeah, I just don't understand why you didn't call.
Yeah, well, I was on E-Trade, you know, diversifying my portfolio, taking control like a wolf.
Right.
What's that? That's volatility in the market. Taking care of. Wolf style. Oh, oh, oh!
Okay, guys, how many do we remember from the past? Richard's got a big smile on his face.
I think the first one has to be Budweiser.
Yeah.
Of course. The second one is McDonald's, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, pretty good one there.
And the third one is E-Trade, the E-Trade baby, which
favorite.
Is fantastic.
The E-Trade baby. Did he get them right?
He did.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Then there was this famous ad. This came out of the 1984 Super Bowl, and maybe this is the granddaddy of them all, perhaps?
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification History, a garden of pure ideology, where each worker may bloom, secure from the pests of a contradictory force.
Any ideas?
Apple.
Apple, yes. Yeah, Apple's ad for, what was it, the Macintosh computer?
It was. The little boxy. I love that.
And Big Brother is looking down on the masses, and that aired in the 1984 Super Bowl.
Right.
Was that where this all started, Jackie? Was that where it seems like it's been a rising trend of, can you do better than this, one upsmanship every year. Is that where the whole thing started with Apple's commercial?
I would certainly say so, for sure.
Yeah, the rest of you think that's true as well?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've lost track. What is the going rate for a Super Bowl ad these days?
$4 million for a 30-second
spot.
$4 million? That's the national spot. And then Cincinnati will see about 10 local companies advertised during the game on Fox. And so those spots go anywhere from $60,000 to $65,000.
Wow, that much for a local spot?
Yes.
Now, and they're all sold out then?
They are sold out.
Okay. Does it surprise you that they've sold out, Kelly, with that kind of a price tag locally and nationally?
Not at all. I think that's a great price to get in and be amongst national competitors.
Richard, what about you? Does that surprise you that they're able to sell ads at that price?
No, I think that's the right price point. I think they're going to get a lot of bang for their buck.
How much bang for the buck are they going to get? I mean, that's the question I always have. You spend all these millions of dollars, do you really get anything out of it?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I mean, I'll let some of the others speak to it. But, you know, as for your brand, you want to know, is it going to, you know, make a difference? Is it going to be relevant? Are you a trusted brand? Are you a known entity out there?
Well, I think at this point, people are looking for entertainment. Each year, one tops the other, and there are some really good commercials for this year.
And I think when you look at an ad, there are multiple layers now of the campaign, right? So we've got the teaser ad that have some of the ads we've seen now for 2 weeks on YouTube and certainly social media. Bud introduced theirs on the Today Show. It was an exclusive airing of the ad, one of the ads they'll be. Then, of course, we've got the PR campaign to promote the ad in advance. We've got the ad in the game, oh, by the way. And then we've got the social media activity and engagement that goes on during, certainly before and after. And I would guarantee that all of those brands spending $4 million plus have a social media command center ready to go to really engage fans, but also to use any moments in the game to create maybe new controversies or new spinoffs of their ad. And then, of course, the Monday water cooler talk. Which one did you like best?
That's always the best part, is the next day when you get to talk to your friends about, did you see that? That was amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised by all the previews and the teases that are out there, Kelly, that have been going on. Is there a sound strategy for doing that? I mean, Jackie brought up some benefits. You're promoting your ad ahead of time. You're building anticipation. But can it backfire on you, or is this a good idea? Or?
Well, I think the way it could backfire is if it's a bad ad. Or we were just talking about the Audi commercial where, you know, you've seen the Sarah McLachlan SPCA commercials with the sad dog looking at you from the TV screen and, you know, with the sad song playing. And so Audi hired her to write a song, and it's, I don't even want to call it a spoof. I mean, we all agreed it's just a dumb commercial. There's a new breed of dog that is part Doberman, part Chihuahua, the Doberwawa, and it's ridiculous. It has this giant Doberman head, this tiny Chihuahua body, and it's following, you know, the adoptive owners around, and, you know, it falls off of things. It has a cone around its neck, you know, coming out of the vet and falls over because it's so heavy. And, you know, sure, we're sitting here laughing now, but it's a stupid commercial.
And you're talking about it. So,
well, okay. There we go.
So maybe it served its purpose.
There we go.
Richard, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Audi ad is just terrible. And, yeah, sometimes I'll have to, like, do some recovery on social media with some of these ads.
Yeah, I was a little horrified, too. The one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's such a big, imposing figure. Then to have him, you know, dressed in the tight shorts and the kind of tank top.
And the wig.
It's rather horrifying.
Frightening.
And is Arnold's presence a sign that this is going to be the year of the celebrity ad in the Super Bowl, do you think, Jackie?
Absolutely. I was going to say it's the year of the one-name celebrity. Arnold certainly, I think, is leading the pack with the Budweiser, Bono, Bank of America, Ellen, Beats Music, and then Danica with GoDaddy. She makes her return with some muscle men going to the spray tanning booth.
I've seen the preview for that. That is a very bizarre-looking commercial.
It is, but it's fabulous.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Tell us what's been your favorite ad from Super Bowls past. And let's talk to Betsy from Price Hill. Good afternoon, Betsy.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, what's your question?
Let's face it, the Super Bowl ads every year get more expensive, and we thought it was a big deal when a 30-second ad was $1 million, and, you know, we thought, well, that was the end of the world. Well, obviously it wasn't. Is there going to be a tipping point, do you see, that the cost of advertising, I don't care how many eyeballs are on the game, is there going to be a tipping point, and will it be soon, that advertisers will say, we don't need to do this. We have social media. Even if, let's say, in the future, this game becomes pay-per-view, that will mean, you know, a whole nother dynamic. Will there be a time that advertisers will say, you know what, I'll just put it on my Facebook page and get just as many views, kind of like Budweiser did today?
Thank you, Betsy. We appreciate the question. And anybody want to respond?
I think that's an interesting discussion, because Pepsi, a couple years ago, you'll recall, pulled all of their ads and did a cause marketing campaign where fans of Pepsi or folks could write in to ask for support, financial support for a nonprofit organization or a movement. And that was maybe 3 years ago. And that fell by the wayside. They're back in the game. So and they're usually sponsoring the entertainment at halftime. So they do a little different activation than just the traditional advertising.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Richard, are these ads, what's the basic strategy? Are they trying to get you to buy a product, or is this a case of they're going the indirect route? They really want to build a brand image in your mind.
I think they want to build a brand image, and they want to be, like I said, memorable, repeatable, and lovable. They want the water cooler talk. They want content to be shared online, because the more content you are sharing online, the more relevant it becomes in search engines, and the spin cycle continues all over again.
Well, you bring up a good point. What impact have the social media had on these Super Bowl ads?
Oh, in a word, huge.
Huge.
Huge. And the cycle of the ad is just growing and growing, and the reach. There are some – the teaser ads, we don't even see the ad until the game, but the teaser ads are basically made for social media, I believe. So I think social media has had a huge impact on the Super Bowl ad cycle and campaign.
And if you've jumped online, you'll notice that there is an ad in front of the ad, right, that you have to watch before you can get to the ad that you want to see.
Right.
So they're double dipping there.
Kelly likes that.
That's the old expression of bang for the buck. Kelly, what's your thought on that?
Well, I think a couple interesting things. We saw Intuit, who's the maker of TurboTax and Quicken, they ran a contest and they had four small business finalists. And so Intuit bought the 32nd spot during the Super Bowl. And so they're donating that $4 million spot to the winner of that contest, which I think is fantastic.
That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie, what are some of the most successful Super Bowl ads of the past?
Oh, I think Bud is the king, not only the king of beers, but the king of ads. And they know it. They know their expectation is high. I believe they have six ads in this year's Super Bowl. They've got a couple long form 60-second ads, which I think is interesting too. Some of the other brands that are doing the longer form ad, Bank of America is, Chevy is. So that'll be interesting. That's almost an eternity with a campaign or an ad.
Does Bud win because of the horses? Is that what makes the ads?
This year it's all the puppy.
Have you seen the puppy love?
Yeah. Oh, it's the puppy.
They brought back the hunky Clydesdale trainer. And remember from last year, mm-hmm. the one that chased down his Clydesdale saw him in the parade. This year he's back, and there's a puppy adoption farm close by, and this adorable golden retriever puppy comes, makes friends with one of the Clydesdales. The owner of the center comes, picks him up, and he just continues to come back. And by the end, the Clydesdale adopts him, and it's adorable.
Oh, yeah, they do have that nice touch, don't they?
You'll want to get the puffs out for that.
Yes.
What do you think about what Doritos does with their contest? I know we had some folks who were winners locally who got to produce an ad through that contest. What do you think of that idea?
Oh, it's, again, brilliant. I mean, talk about fan involvement and fan engagement. If you want someone, to champion your brand, they have people climbing over themselves to do these things.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Doritos idea?
I agree. I love it. Love it.
Kelly? I just wonder how long they can continue. I mean, at some point, I think it'll, no pun, get stale.
is there a point where these things start to wear out? Personally, sorry, GoDaddy, I'm getting kind of tired of your advertising. You need to do something new and different with it. Do the advertisers run that risk with this?
I think they do. I think they do, and they know that. I think it's the expectations of the ad agencies are very high. And so that's why I love the Doritos. I think it keeps it fresh and really engages, some creative talent who maybe don't work in the big ad shops on both coasts. So I think it's fun to find that emerging talent.
Has this become a contest for the ad agencies more than it is? Is it a serious effort to create a brand image, to sell a product, or is this just a big contest for them? Let's see who can come up with the best commercial.
I mean, you get the sort of weird factor sometimes. I mean, Doritos has one in there. I don't know if you've looked online about the finger being cleaned off by sticking it in the hole. It's very creepy and I think almost very wrong.
That does sound
it gets kind of icky, but yeah, I'll let some other people chime in here too.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the Super Bowl is big business. I mean, $17 billion in indirect and direct spending will be spent around the Super Bowl. That's everything from a bag of chips to a new TV because, my 50-inch flat screen's not big enough. I want the 72. So I think it's not only big business for the creative agencies, the ad agencies. It's big business for a lot of those brands who use the Super Bowl to roll out new products and new ideas.
Kelly, what do you think about the whole thing? Is there a point where it wears out, or
people keep doing it? They keep buying the ads. They keep creating better and better ones. So I don't know where that point would be.
Mm-hmm. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation, or you can email us at talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And did you have something you want to add there, Richard? You look, nope, okay. Going back to the social media, is this something that's just going to keep growing bigger and bigger and bigger for these advertisers?
I think so. I think social media continues to grow. You know, this is probably the first full cycle of Instagram that, you know, we're seeing. So I think a younger audience is using Instagram. You know, the older folks like us have chased the kids off Facebook because they're tired of seeing our recipes and photos of grandkids. So I think, again, social media just gives these ads so many more legs, if you will, to showcase.
One thing I think is interesting this year, speaking of the social media, H&M hired David Beckham to promote his line of underwear. And if you have a certain brand of TV, you can interact with it and purchase underwear during the commercial.
Okay.
That's cool.
Interesting. So this is going to be a case if you see a hashtag something or other,
yes,
attached to these ads in many cases. And I guess the whole idea behind that is let's get as much out of this as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Do the local ad pros get together after the game and analyze the spots for ideas as to what works and what doesn't work? Do you guys sit around and say, yeah, this was good. Maybe we could take some of these ideas for ourselves and use it somehow.
I know I do. When I teach it, I teach sports PR at UC, and we'll take the next week and we'll go through them as a class and we'll talk about what works, what didn't work, what maybe moved the needle. And I'll always refer back to the USA Today ad meter and use that as kind of the benchmark to what works and what didn't work.
Richard, is that something where you're picking up ideas from the other ad shops?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any point of difference that you can anchor to or grab onto and utilize and leverage is something that might give you an edge. That's a useful tool in your backpack.
How much local participation is there in the creation of some of this advertising? Are local ideas ever getting out there? And
well, the Dorito guys were
the
local.
Dorito guys,
you know,
yeah.
A couple of years ago, that was a big deal.
Right,
that was a really big deal.
But as far as local ad agencies go, is there anything that they're doing with Super Bowl advertising, or is it strictly the national level guys?
I haven't heard that. I think Fox 19 is probably the local beneficiary of the Super Bowl this year with the local spots they're selling in game.
Okay, 419-7100, and let's talk to Tricia from Wyoming. Good afternoon, Tricia.
Hi, good afternoon. I was just calling because we only watch TV once a year, and it's to watch the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So I imagine there's not a lot of families who have that they can say, right?
Right, right. Well, it sounds like my family. We all get together on a Super Bowl Sunday and watch it. And if you're like my family, I think half of us like football, the other half hate it, but they're there to watch the commercials. Is that the case with your family?
Oh, you bet. Exactly. Exactly. My daughter's like, oh, yay, football. And I'm like, no, the commercials. I have to watch the commercials.
Tricia, I want to invite you over to my home on Sundays to watch Downton Abbey. Should be the second show you watch.
I've actually been trying to watch it on Amazon Prime.
There you go.
Tricia, thank you very much for the comment. Sounds like this is an excuse for family time in a lot of cases as well.
Now, I was at an American Marketing Association meeting a while ago, and we were talking about Super Bowl commercials, and the one gal at my table said, oh, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. And we all looked at her like she was an alien. I said, what did you do? Oh, I worked out. I went to the mall. That was so foreign to me because, you know, of course, I'm a huge sports fan, but the commercials are right there with the game for me. So I think that's interesting that Tricia's saying that. That's great.
Yeah, and I think that in the case of the Super Bowl, there's something for everyone because, seriously, about half my family doesn't care for football, yet they show up. We invite them over. They say, sure. And what we end up doing is we end up a lot of times watching the commercials and laughing at them, and it's a family get-together time for
us. But I think the big conflict this year during the game is, do you watch Bruno Mars at halftime, or do you flip over to the Puppy Bowl?
I think usually we flip over to the Puppy Bowl. That's been our trend.
And the sideshow, the side freak show will be the Cat Bowl, too.
On the Hallmark Channel.
Yes, so there's There's many options there.
Selena sent us a comment. She said she heard a study that there was a cost benefit of Super Bowl ads, that they really weren't worth it. Have you guys ever heard anything along those lines? Or
again, I think to Richard's point, it just depends on the creative, and to Kelly's point, what's the call to action? How many underwear do we sell? You know, I think every brand is going to be over analyzing what that ROI is for each. So I think it's probably just different for each brand.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon. Jackie Rowe is the CEO of Game Day Communications. Richard Groot is the president of Traction Branding and Design. And Kelly Tassos is the associate director of advertising with the Cincinnati Business Courier. After the break, the importance of STEM education in the U.S. And in 15 minutes, Ann Thompson tells us about technology for protecting Olympic skiers from getting hurt. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.